The Tanner is out there. And tonight we're going to find him along with the truth on I Want to Believe here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. Hey, what's up, guys? Shannon Young here with you once again to host this fantabulous show of amazement and fantasy along with my group that I use to talk with people. Tanner Calvert is down at the end of the table. He's here tonight.
You found me.
It wasn't a hard search. I just looked for all the buckets. And then I found you near the top of them. That's a throwback. Throw it back.
Don't think he's happy about that throwback.
That's one of the best throwbacks, though. Tanner, come on. You love that joke. Admit it.
Oh, I love it.
The gif is his favorite part.
Oh, the... What is it called? Steptoe? Steptoe to Freedom?
Yeah, I think.
You just look up hillbilly and that's what it is, which is really a shame because Tanner's not a hillbilly. He made a proclamation on his Facebook earlier today. I suggest you all go read it. It was a good proclamation. Also tonight with us, Calvin Hebert.
What's up?
And Ali Hebert.
Hi.
No relation. And then Lindsay Wolfgang also here.
Hello.
It's our first five-person show, and the reason is because I had car trouble today. Lindsay had car trouble today. And she has been working on it and finally got it fixed. So everything's good.
I'm tired of smelling like grease.
Yeah, I'm tired of you smelling like grease. That's been a while.
ha 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 ha.
The important thing is that it only costs about $100, which is less than what I expected.
He's digging a hole today.
So the money I saved by not giving into Facebook's lies, will you boost an ad, which I did not. I ended up paying half that to the damn car anyway. So whatever.
I'm sorry.
We'll split the difference, life. We'll cut
it right. Sounds better now?
We'll cut right in the middle. So before we get to the topics of the night, let me tell you a little story about what happened to me last night. It's 2 a.m. I'm downstairs. I've been playing Final Fantasy 14 for the past 2 hours because that's what I do at night when no one's awake. It's the only time I can play, you know, peacefully and not feel bad about not giving anybody any attention. The midnight hour till about 2 to 3 a.m. is my time.
The cat doesn't bug you?
No, the cat sleeps calmly. Everyone leaves me alone.
Did you say the midnight hour between 2 and 3 a.m.?
No. From the midnight hour to 2 or 3 a.m.
Okay.
No, well aware of what the midnight hour is. I'm doing that. I'm also on my phone. I'm watching MSNBC because I also do that at night. Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell, the 11th hour with Brian Williams. I'm watching that. That ends. I'm like, okay, I need to go to sleep at some point. I have to go to bed so I can get up and go to work the next day. So I go to the kitchen. I go to get a drink. As I go to get a drink, I hear what sounds like a gust of wind and a wailing female spirit in the kitchen. No joke. I haven't told anybody this because I wanted to bust this out on the show. I heard what sounds like if you heard a stereotypical wailing spirit, it sounded like it was coming from entirely my kitchen. Like the wind picked up outside, you heard this wailing, and then it ended. Now, where we live, I'm not stupid. I assume it's just somebody outside, like
being
with their
dumb.
Music on or something. Yeah. So I go, okay, I'm not even going to give that credit. I'm just going to go to bed. As I'm walking upstairs to go to sleep, I hear a woman call out to me. And it's one of those things that as an adult, I just assume I'm hearing things, you know, because you.
Because that's what you do as a rational human is think that you're going crazy.
Exactly. You think that you're going crazy, but you don't want to give any credence to the fact that it could be a ghost or something. You know, I've been let down way too many times. So I went, all right. But at the same time, there's always that little bit of doubt in your head. So I felt like a kid because what I did was I ran up the stairs, ran into Bob's room and closed the door and looked at him and said, I think I'm going crazy. I have heard what sounds like a female spirit twice now. And I know I haven't. So please tell me I'm just hearing things.
Bob no-sold you?
He no-sold me.
Okay.
He sat there on his computer and just like, yeah, he did nothing. So I went to bed and that was the end of it. But I wanted to share that with you because that was strange. That was strange. I don't usually hear things like that, but it was one of those things I heard it plain as day. The wailing, I'll give that to you. I still think that was something outside. You know, I don't have any proof that that was anything else. But I heard going up those stairs, I heard a woman say something to me, and it freaked me out. So that's how we're starting the show off tonight.
I like it.
Thank you. Welcome back to I Want to Believe. We have a couple of great stories here for you tonight. Actually, three. Was going to have more, but with that whole car thing, I didn't get a chance.
Sorry.
But the stuff that I have is dynamite. Let's start off with talking about one of my favorite subjects, Tanner. UFOs.
Yes.
Now, last year, Was it last year or earlier this year? There was that massive UFO sighting over the United States.
It was earlier this year.
Was it? No, that was last year.
No, it was last year.
It was last year. Yeah.
It was last year.
We didn't talk about it till.
You weren't there.
Yeah.
You missed that show. But there was that massive UFO sighting over the United States that still, of course, in this modern era that we live in, when our president tweets out embarrassing things on an hourly basis, that news has gone to the side. No one cares anymore. Same thing with that explosive New York Times article about the secret UFO program. That's all gone now. But what we didn't hear about, and I found out about today, was there was actually a UFO sighting over Oregon on October 25th that, to me, ranks as one of the most spectacular ones. Now, this is from news.com.au, which I'm assuming is Australia. But it's from a United States source, and I didn't get that one. But this is directly from them. Yes, and the other important thing to notice, this is in broad daylight. This wasn't at night or anything. Broad daylight, heavy air traffic. They see this thing. Pilots radioed in reports of an aircraft flying outside registered flight plans. It was not responding to radio calls. It had no collision avoidance transponders, but it was always just outside of clear sight. On the ground, air traffic control was also seeing strange things. Its radar was intermittently tracking an unregistered object moving at unusually high speeds. There's an automotive website called The Drive. I've never been there. I'm not a car guy. If anyone here has, please speak up. Exactly. And they have a blog called The War Zone, which obtained through FOIA a quote-unquote mountain of documents and hours of audio recordings detailing Oregon's air traffic controller actions. It was first detected in the air above Northern California by radar stations in Oakland at 4:30 p.m., traveling very fast at 37,000. I'm guessing that's the speed. Knots, maybe? I don't know. I don't know air traffic very well. It took a sudden turn into air traffic, then disappeared from radar, but not from sight. It emitted no signals and would not respond to air traffic controllers. Air traffic controllers are told that the Air Force was examining the radar track, and in the hours of audio revealed through FOIA, fighters were ordered into the air from the McCord Air Force Base in Washington. F-15 interceptors attempted to track down the UFO, but by that point, it had completely vanished from sight. I listened to about 15 minutes of the real-time communication between like air traffic controllers to various pilots, and at least three or four different pilots all saw this object. Like, it wasn't that it was, you know, one person saw it and they were trying to figure out what it was. Multiple aircrafts saw this object. It was a white plane type thing. It was just some white aircraft, big white aircraft, no markings on it, no, you know, names, no like, American Airlines or anything like that. It wouldn't respond. It did not show up on radar. It disappeared from radar, even though they could still see it. And it was actually flying with the traffic. It wasn't that they saw it out in the corner of their eye. It was flying with the traffic. And then once the Air Force actually sent F-15s after it, it disappeared completely. So I ask you this. Why is this not a bigger story?
Seriously.
Why does stuff like this never cross most people's inbox? You would think that if an unidentified flying object, which, Calvin, again, we have stated many times on this show that unidentified flying object does not mean alien in origin.
No, it just means we don't know what it was and it's in the air.
Exactly. And if you had an unidentified flying object that was in heavy air traffic,
That would be concerning.
That would be concerning. And that the fact that they sent F-15s, that the Air Force, the Air Force actually sent interceptors to intercept it, and they couldn't find it because it had disappeared at that point. Why is that not a bigger story? This isn't some, you know, crazy guy seeing a UFO and taking, you know, blurry video of it. These are professionals who have got this thing on radar, then it's not on radar, they still have eye contact, you know, visual on it, and then it just disappears. Tanner, why is this so hard to get a hold of? Why is this information just coming to us now, October 25th, you know, 3-4 months ago? Why are we just finding out about it?
It doesn't fit the narrative that the press or government wants to put out, generally.
What narrative is that, sir?
That there's nothing out there, or if there is, they don't know anything about it.
Well, and that's not, like, you can sensationalize it, but you would sensationalize it at the cost of sounding like a conspiracy theorist.
And
whereas you can sensationalize Trump calling North Korea Rocket Man all day long. Like, it's very easy.
Yeah, and the people that write the articles and tell you things, they aren't doing it because they're going, this is the information people need to know. They're saying this is what's going to get the most clicks. This is what's going to get the most.
And you don't think that would get the most clicks?
Because they say UFO spotted by Air Force. Most people just see UFO and think aliens.
They see UFO and then stop reading. Also, your interests are very much not the same as most Americans' interests.
I'm going to look that up real quick. I think you're wrong on that. I think me and America, we're on the same pulse here.
I mean, it depends on which site you're looking at.
That's a specific type of American that I agree with there. I'm going to look up how many Americans believe in UFOs. No, I'm not, because that's a study, and studies are terrible.
You take a group
of 20 people from Missouri and ask them, do you believe in UFOs and aliens? And, 75% of them say they do. Then you post an article that says 75% of Americans believe in UFOs. No, until you take a study of every single American.
You have to look at sample size.
Yeah, you have to look at sample size. If it was random, like how they got their survey out there. There's
the geographical area.
Yeah.
Well, Missouri is, is it a hotbed of UFO activity, Tanner?
Yeah.
Because where does Cape Girardeau, is it Cape Girardeau or Cairo? Where it runs through.
It runs. You're talking about the 37th parallel.
Yes. Which we mentioned on the show before.
The idea of the 37th parallel, like there's the main line, there's 37.00000, and that's in Cairo. And it runs like through Cairo and then through Hopkinsville, which is all, Hopkinsville is one of the wildest places ever for the paranormal phenomena. Edgar Casey was from there. I don't know if you know who that is.
I don't know who that is. Was he a serial killer?
No.
Oh.
He was just a regular, he was a farm boy his whole life, and came to a point where he would fall asleep and have dreams that would predict things, or you could talk to him in his sleep about medical problems and he would give you a diagnosis for it. He was so accurate.
No need for a doctor.
He was so accurate that the Mayo Clinic still uses some of his information today.
Once I went to a Chinese restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I ordered dinner,
and
I got a fortune cookie. And the fortune cookie said, you love Chinese food. That's accurate.
That is pretty accurate.
That's the kind of accuracy that you're looking for.
Yeah. No, but the idea of the 37th parallel, you don't have to be directly on the line itself. It's anywhere within – it falls within that range between 36 and 38. So just – and that literally is a big – big stripe through the country, and Cape sits right in the middle of it.
So it's the 37th parallel itself is that it's supernatural, right? It's not.
Well, they call it the supernatural highway, the 37th parallel.
We're talking about ley lines. But is that different?
Different.
It's similar thinking behind them.
It's a different theory. I've never. Like, you don't ever hear any theories about any other, parallel lines. It's just, it's interesting because when people look at the 37th parallel in this area, they look where it's at in this country, and which is interesting. Like, you see a lot of really crazy places on the map. But just throughout the entire globe on the 37th parallel, it's just ridiculous how much stuff is on there.
Calvin just showed us a picture of the 37th parallel. It runs right through the middle of America, pretty much. Right through us.
It almost lines up with the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah. No, actually, the solar eclipse last year.
Yeah.
The line that the solar eclipse ran across the country was the 37th parallel.
So that's why everybody thought it was the end of the world?
Yeah, probably.
Well,
most people generally think eclipses are the end of the world.
True. Yeah. Hopkinsville was the optimal place to see it. This time around?
I thought it was Perryville.
Lindsay. I mean, we had a really good view.
They built hotels.
Well.
Just to watch.
That weren't done.
They were trying to. It's still not done.
So this just, in this age, getting back to this topic here, in this age we live in where every time something happens, and I don't want to get political. I don't want to politicize this show. But every time something happens with the Russia investigation or some new thing comes out about Donald Trump, it's all over the news. And I get it. It's ratings. Liberal media hates Donald Trump. It's absolutely true. Conservative media loves Donald Trump. Fox News loves him. Everybody else hates him. And that's big business. But this seems like this would be something that's actually important to Americans.
You think it would be apolitical?
Yeah, this would be a political thing. And there are sometimes I wonder if we stop labeling stuff like this as UFOs, would it be taken more seriously? Because the term UFO has just become synonymous with
aliens.
But a UFO, an unidentified flying object, is a dangerous thing. If you have a plane, someone mentioned during this article, they said it reminded them a lot of 9/11 when the planes got hijacked. They weren't responding. What if this would have been a similar situation? What if this was a hijacked plane? You know, they're not responding. They're in traffic. What kind of damage they could do? And no one's talking about it. This is the kind of stuff when we talk about on the show about, you know, look out there for all of the stuff that they don't tell you about. This is exactly what we're talking about. We're not talking about vampires and werewolves. We're talking about dangers that could face you every day. Stuff that they don't want you to know.
Well, the big thing is trying to get the knowledge out there that the term UFO is not synonymous with aliens.
Right.
Like that's something that needs to be known to everybody.
Though that's why I think maybe we should do away with the term UFO.
I don't.
Even though it's perfectly describing what it is, let's come up with a new label for it. Like flying thing.
There's really no.
This is hard.
Well, there's really no better term to use. Like I said, what it's going to take is literally everybody learning that this is not.
Yeah, if you see an unidentified flying object, it's not necessarily saying you've seen someone from Mars.
Yes.
I also heard today, I didn't put this on here because I can't validate it, but I heard an audio recording about a Russian cosmonaut. The first female Russian cosmonaut in space. And, they apparently, she burned up returning into atmosphere.
Yeah, I've listened to that before.
Yeah. Well, have we heard that one?
Yeah.
Cause apparently there's lots of lost Russian cosmonaut stories.
I remember listening to about a female one where she was like calling for help and ended up just burning up.
Yeah. So space is scary.
well, speaking of space.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Elon Musk rocket.
The SpaceX?
Yeah.
I think it was called?
Phenomenal.
That was an awesome launch.
It was
launch.
Amazing.
It was an awesome landing of the thrusters.
Yes.
That amazed me.
I did not watch it, and I actually don't know too much about this.
So
you at least need to watch the landing.
Yeah.
Okay. For sure.
So Elon Musk sends, I think, like, what, two, maybe three tests before the rocket blew up? Like, there was a test a while ago.
Yeah, there was the first one. I think it first one never took off.
Yeah.
First one exploded in the on the ground. Second one, I don't want to call it a success, but it didn't blow up like that. Third one blew up midway through the flight. And then this one
went off without a hitch.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Was this man-made or helmed rocket or
no.
This was
no? It's autopilot.
Yeah,
but it was the test and Elon Musk trying to get space travel. For normal people, quote unquote, like with a normal price tag.
Right.
Still gonna be, privatized.
I feel like, I wish I thought about this beforehand, because I feel like that's a good topic to talk about.
Well,
do you want to privatize space exploration?
Yes.
Well, but he's trying to privatize space travel.
To where?
Mars.
Mars, the moon.
Have you never seen a movie?
Wait,
did they not watch Apollo 13 or Armageddon?
Or Transformers Dark of the Moon?
Who did he get the idea off of for this? I know I've read about it. There was somebody he got the idea of traveling to Mars for colonization.
And I don't remember.
I know it was a scientist. I just can't remember who it was.
I mean, there's going to be a buttload of paperwork for people to sign off on if they do it, being like, we are not responsible if
you
die.
He's trying to make space travel affordable. And the government spends most of their money on these boosters that just burn up on reentry.
And they're useless.
And then useless again. So on a normal spaceship, you see that's got the two boosters on the side. Those fall off, either burn up or land in the ocean, and they're basically useless again.
Mm-hmm.
He made it to where they get to the point where they break loose, boosters come back on, and they land perfectly upright on launch pads.
So that they can just reuse attach them to the next thing.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make space travel affordable.
Yes.
So that if we decided, hey, as a Podzilla group, let's go to Mars for the weekend.
It wouldn't be a weekend trip.
No.
No, this would be a colonization.
Yeah, because getting off of Mars is another problem. Ugh. It's a one-way if you're going to Mars at the moment. What Elon Musk is mostly trying to do is just make it affordable to get into space.
And I still can't get a real-life Jurassic Park.
Accurate.
Sad. Yeah. We'll have to colonize something eventually. Because, I mean, we will deplete the resources on Earth at some point. Like, it's not a if, it's a definite, but it's one of those things that, because it's not going to happen in our lifetime, the people in charge don't care. Clearly, when you see the president pulled out of, like,
That's future Earth's problem.
That's future us problem, yeah.
So it's that giant wad of trash from Futurama.
Exactly. That's future us's problem. We won't even be alive to see it. Or will we? That's the main topic.
Okay.
Well, no, that's the main topic. We got one more thing to talk about real quick. So Lindsay and Allie and I saw a little movie a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago now, called Winchester.
It was that long ago.
Yeah, because it was the day after CCW.
Okay.
Because it was the same day that I started getting the pain.
Gotcha.
So, Winchester, Allie.
I remember that. I didn't know it was the day after CCW.
I'm pretty sure, but I'm not positive on that one. Maybe not after CCW, but it was definitely the day after I started happened.
Yeah.
Tanner, do you know a lot about the Winchester House, I assume?
Yes.
So, did you see the movie?
I have not.
Calvin, have you seen the movie?
I haven't.
Wait, they actually made a movie about?
Uh-huh.
Did you not know about this movie?
I did not.
Yeah, it's called Winchester. It was 2017, had Helen Mirren in it.
Well, you've got me hooked now.
That's Sarah Winchester.
Is it on anything?
Oh.
No, it's still in theaters.
Still good. Theaters. I liked it.
Now I'm really hooked.
Well, so they kind of changed the story of it a little bit, because the actual story of it, I have it written down here just so I remembered all the details. But she was married to firearm magnate William Wirt Winchester, who I guess was in charge of the Winchester fortune at the time.
No, he started the Winchester company.
After William died, he died of tuberculosis in 1881, and she had a daughter who was an infant who also passed away from some childhood disease. Mm-hmm. I don't have that here. She consulted a Boston medium who channeled her husband's spirit and told her to go west to build a never-ending home for the spirits of those killed by the Winchester rifles. She was so concerned that these ghosts were haunting her, and that was the reason that she had had such bad luck in life, was because of this curse.
The rifles that hurt.
The Winchester curse. So she went out west. I forget exactly where she went, but she started building a mansion that she never stopped building. That construction, depending on who you talk to, this construction went over 30 years and it was nonstop. They constantly changed it. They had no vision for what it was going to be. They just kept adding rooms.
You just open a door, it's a brick wall. You open a door, you're outside.
You go upstairs.
Four stories up.
Yeah, goes to a roof.
Yeah.
I don't know how many bathrooms they had in the house. This is the real story.
Yeah.
I don't know how many bathrooms they had in the house. None of them worked. There was only one bathroom that worked. The rest were there to confuse spirits. And she slept in a different room every night.
Dang.
So the movie version of this portrayed it as she was building these rooms for the spirits to help appease them, to help them move on to the next life. When the actual story was that she was so scared of them.
She was trying to confuse them.
She was trying to confuse them. She was trying to get away from the spirits. And it's one of those things that 161 rooms is, I think, where she ended at before she passed away. And it's a lot of people that saw the movie thought it was a good movie, and they didn't know that this was a real thing. This is an absolute real story. And it's one of my favorite. You know, I talked to Asa about it. Asa actually mentioned to me that we should talk about it. And I thought, well, that's a good idea, because I thought the movie was good and I love the story. It's one of my favorite urban legends or myths or whatever. And if you don't know the story of the Winchester House, I do suggest that you look it up. Go see the movie, but really look into the actual history of Sarah Winchester and the Winchester House, because it's one of the best ghost stories I've ever heard. I've seen the Ghost Adventure special when they went there.
It was good.
It was good. I think there was another one that went there, but I don't remember who it was. I don't know if it was Taps or if
it was Taps.
Was it Taps?
Yeah.
And I don't remember any of the evidence. This is one of those cases where I am completely entertained by the legend.
Yeah.
Versus whether or not they found something legitimately.
And the artifact of the house itself.
That it's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that it's such a weird house.
See, that
was such a weird story.
The Winchester House kind of ranks up there. Like, I have a list of places on a...
You want to visit?
A paranormal list that I want to
visit. We should have... God, I wish we had prepared this, because I would love to know your list versus mine. Winchester House.
That's number one for me. Well, it's kind of toughy. It's probably number two. Number one is Lent Mansion.
In St. Louis?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go to Eastern State Penitentiary.
That's on the list.
Bobby Mackey's
is on the list for sure.
Gettysburg. Even though it's a big area, I would love to go there.
I want to go there
just
for the
middle of summer.
For historical value of it.
Yeah, no, it's miserable in the middle of summer.
Even though it's not haunted, I want to go to Centralia.
Yes.
Pennsylvania.
All right, I'm putting this out there now. Come October, we all need to go to Decatur, Illinois.
What's in Decatur?
The entire town for the month of October turns into a haunted attraction.
Oh, no. I don't like haunted attractions.
No. I'm talking, like, I call it an attraction, because you have to buy tickets for it, but it's legit. Like, there's a Troy Taylor. He's a famous paranormal author. He comes up there and does the lectures and the tours for the place. And, like, they only sell so many tickets per showing or per day.
Right.
And you can either do just the tour or you can do the tour and the ghost hunt.
Do they outsource the ghosts? Like, they bring ghosts in from other areas?
Look, I'm normally with you on this, but Decatur is for real. Like,
I've also heard Alton, Illinois, is super haunted.
Well, you remember that episode of Paranormal State where they came to Carol?
Yes.
The little girl they went back to for the possession?
Yeah.
Was around Alton.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of good places that I'd like to go around here. Limp Mansion's probably the one I'd like to go the most, though.
Top list, just because it's so close.
It is, and it's so widely regarded as like legitimately haunted.
Just don't. That's one of those places you don't do the haunted tour.
No, I refuse to do a haunted tour. If there have been places that have reached out to us that have said, "Hey, come, let's give you a tour of this place," and I refuse to do them. I don't want a tour. I don't want anything that could be falsified.
Yeah.
Anything that they could set up to like trick us, because I'm not into that. I want legitimacy. I want actual, if there's real paranormal evidence, that's what I want. That was almost the topic for tonight, was we were going to dissect ghost shows and all these shows that are just really giving paranormal investigations bad names.
Ghost Adventures.
I love that show though. It's so hard to be critical of that show when it's so much fun. Scooby Doo and the gang.
The fact that you can call him that.
He is such an asshole. You can just look at him and know he's an asshole.
That's the only entertaining part of the show.
I feel like we'd have a much better show, but it'd also be much more boring. Because it would basically be you and Calvin, like, actually, like, researching. And I would be the Zach. I would be the idiot, like, making jokes and it's your boy. Hey, demons, it's your boy. Not because I don't believe in it.
That's a different show.
That's not even a show. That's a YouTube channel. There's a hierarchy. There's a hierarchy of importance when it comes to entertainment. There's actual television, then YouTube, then what we do. So we're at the bottom of the list.
Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. We're above Vines.
We're still above like newspapers.
Well, yeah.
Print is dead.
Unfortunately.
Oh, you know what that reminds me of? Real quick. So it was the 4-year anniversary of Harold Ramis passing away last week. And I want to just say that I'm a huge Harold Ramis fan, and I still tear up every time it comes time for the memories. And I posted so many pictures of like Harold Ramis tributes. So if you haven't, please, Cody, go watch Ghostbusters. And while you're doing it, watch his other fine films. He was in Groundhog. Well, he directed Groundhog Day. Tax. He was a great director too.
Anything National Lampoon.
What was the...
I think it was Stripes.
Stripes.
Stripes, yeah. That's it.
I was trying to remember the name.
I knew it was military.
But I didn't want to embarrass myself, but then you said Taps.
That's fine. I'm fine with being the one to embarrass themselves. This is normal. House.
Did you watch the... still off topic. Did you watch the Netflix show about National Lampoon?
No. The movie based on the guy's life? No, I have not.
Well, I mean, because it's going to feature... Of course, it's going to feature Harold, but...
Oh, do they have someone portray Harold Ramis?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have to. He was there for the start of it.
He was, yeah. So, yeah. I'll get around to it. I also recommend you watch Ghost Heads. It's a good documentary on the fandom of Ghostbusters that Lindsay found and made me watch on Netflix. You remember that? Yeah.
Yep.
That was pretty good. All right. So in the main topic tonight, past Harold Ramis, past the Winchester House, which I suggest you go research. And you don't just stop there. There's plenty of places you should research that sometimes the legends are better than the actual story. The Amityville House is like that. Eastern State Penitentiary, all the places Tanner and I just mentioned, Limp Mansion, like some of these places are fascinating. I also read about a Roman lake that they used to sacrifice animals to, that they would lead the animals to the lake and then the animals would die almost immediately.
Oh, wow.
They would sell small pets and animals that people could purchase and then throw into the lake and then watch the animals die almost immediately because there's something about the water that's poisonous. And this is off topic. This has nothing to do with anything, but I thought it was kind of a cool story. I wish I could remember.
I mean, I know there's bodies of water that are so acidic that it kills instantly.
Well, there's that one that we saw of the animals that almost looked like they were stone, like statues.
Petrified.
Yeah. They were petrified. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's creepy. Allie is looking in terror right now. The thought of people buying animals to throw for entertainment.
Yeah, that
to die. That's pretty shitty.
I will say this, though, just for any listeners. If you guys do research, research stuff in your area, like your local stuff.
And then tell us about it.
And please tell us about it. We're looking for places to go check out and investigate.
Well, there's still Jason Wells' house.
Yep. But
yeah, as soon as we get more stuff to do it.
All you need to investigate ghosts are eyes and ears, my friend, and electronics.
Well said.
Thank you. All right, so main topic of tonight, we talked about the afterlife in our first episode. And it was one of my favorite discussions I've had on Podzilla ever, because one of the things, the whole reason I started this show, other than because Tanner and I wanted a project to work on again, was because I have a fascination with the paranormal, and mostly I have a fascination with the afterlife and what happens when you pass away. I lost my mother and my father years ago, and I've always had this obsession over what happens when you die. Because it's so easy to just assume that you die and that's it, and that is a sucky ending, so I'd like to avoid that. So we have researched the afterlife, I have looked into religion, I've looked into all these other things, but now, thankfully, someone's finally making some sense, and we may not have to worry about dying at all. This gentleman's name is Dr. Ian Pearson, and he is a esteemed futurologist, which I did not know futurologist was a thing, and I don't know if you can actually get a degree in that.
I mean, isn't it just predicting how the future is going
to
happen?
Or it's working towards the future, maybe? I don't know. It's right next to, so if you're in college and you check off the boxes, which is what I assume how you pick classes, there's futurology and there's fungineering.
No, it's imagineering.
No, that's a different thing.
That's Disney. Fungineering is Lego.
Do you have a fungineering degree?
No, I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts. Thank you. I know. That's why I'm starving.
Jesus. Anyway, futurologist Dr. Ian Pearson recently told The Sun he believes humans are very close to achieving immortality, the ability to never die. And he predicts that we will have this ability by the year 2050.
How are we going to do population control?
Well, yeah, that's the main concern.
We'll get to that.
But we already have human. Any biological organism can be made biologically immortal through the... basically putting proteins on your cells into stasis.
I think you got way more in depth than
this
guy.
You're using so many big words.
Right.
I'm like, what?
But it basically keeps your body at its, your DNA's idea of what where you are at your peak,
okay.
Quote unquote. Okay. So most people would stay between ages, seemingly ages like 20 to 28, somewhere in there.
Great for us.
Well, technically women's peaks are later.
Yeah. But that's the general.
Yeah.
This Dr. Pearson, he laid out three methods for which we could possibly live forever. And these are apparently legitimate methods, according to this guy. And he says, if you are under 40 reading this article, you are probably not going to die unless you get a nasty disease
or
someone kills you. Yeah. I don't understand that either. This thing. Okay. This computer's driving me nuts. Before we go any further with, this, I am sick and tired of this computer telling me that I need to update it. And then I say, okay, well, let's do anything. And then it doesn't do anything. It just goes away. So to hell with this computer. I'm done with it. Back to this. Back to living forever. Method number one. We'll go over these piece by piece. Renewing your body parts using biotechnologies and medicine to quote unquote, keep renewing the body and rejuvenating it.
That's actually something I've thought about in the past. I'm like, that kind of makes a little sense.
Well, that's what I was just talking about, is you're keeping all your cells into their peak state.
Yeah, he said no one wants to live forever at 95 years old, but if you could rejuvenate the body to 29 or 30, you might want to do that. So what they're saying is not only could you live forever, but you could also stay at a prime age.
Yes.
Now that, of course, you mentioned the population control. That's something that's not addressed in this method. And we'll talk about that at the end. We'll go over that. But, you have to figure that there's, so one of the ideas I had for a story was a world where everyone lived forever, but the trade-off for that was that no one could ever be born again. That everyone that had been born was born. You couldn't get pregnant. And that was the way they control population. You can live forever.
You either choose to reproduce or you choose to be sterilized and live forever.
Right.
Those are
your options.
The trade-off.
Yes. What would you pick? Just curious.
Me?
Yes.
I would live forever.
Allie?
And this is a more difficult question for me than for Calvin. But I don't know. It probably depends on more factors.
That's an easy answer. If the moon was made out of cheese, would you eat it?
What kind of cheese?
Barbecue.
The moon. What?
You're gonna have babies.
The moon
here
actually
forever.
Does something. So if you ate the moon, we would have issues.
That's
not,
a true thing.
You're not answering the question. Are you gonna live forever? You're gonna have babies.
I don't know. There's more factors. Like, where are we gonna be in the state of the country is now? Because I don't really want to live forever in this state, but I also don't want a kid to live in this state. So.
Well, there's good. I have good news for you then. Even if you can live forever, you won't live forever. Because not a single option on here is forever proof. And I'll explain why towards the end. I don't mean
to be a
downer.
You can be killed?
Well, yes, but it could be worse than that. Tanner, I'm going to go to you real quick. Life or kids?
Kids.
Well, he already has kids.
Yeah,
it doesn't count. That's cheating. Lindsay, I already know your answer.
Life.
Yeah, me too.
I would pick kids if I didn't have kids.
So we would all live forever and you would die.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Bye, guys. I want you guys to cry for me.
Wow.
I wouldn't. I would just be like, what an idiot.
Aww.
No, Tanner, no, don't look like that. This can be done in several ways, including genetic engineering that prevents or reverses the aging of cells. Mm-hmm. This is real stuff. This could absolutely happen. This
isn't
science fiction.
Not that any of us could afford this.
Well,
but it's already been done in animals. They've already made biologically immortal animals that aren't natively biologically immortal.
That's creepy.
And not only that, but it's so this is a little bit further down, but I'll give a preview of it. It's like computers. When computers first came out, no one could afford them. But when the technology got easier, things were more manageable.
What Elon Musk is trying to do with space.
Exactly. So immortality may be only available to the richest people at first, but over time, it could be for everybody. You could also replace vital body organs with new parts. Seems reasonable, right?
Then you basically become a biological cyborg. Frankenstein. Yeah.
And this is the one that really broke me because I thought of Calvin. Many scientists around the world are working on creating human organs using 3D printers.
Yeah. They've been doing
awesome.
For years.
Loaded with living cells, mm-hmm. which could one day make human organ donors redundant.
Didn't they start out with bones and stuff first before
they went into the other tissue?
Yeah, the rigid stuff is easier, but I think because they can now basically 3D print by growing a plant, mm-hmm. which is really weird. But you basically grow a plant and it just grows an organ.
To what you need. Yeah, like you program it and it just does its thing.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know, right?
But it's awesome.
With this, is there still a risk of your body rejecting it?
Well, so they've done it in animals and they have had rejections, but they...
If they take part of your own DNA, it shouldn't be an issue.
It depends on graft versus host. If you can make the graft biologically the same as the host when it's grown or printed, then it won't have that problem.
So, like, say you're a teenager and you know there's heart disease in your family. When your heart is still good, you could take those cells and have one made and waiting for you.
Yeah.
But there's also, technically, you know, as science gets better and as medicine gets better, rejections may become less of a factor.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, they have, in the last 20 years, rejections have become less of a factor.
Yeah, that's the big thing. So not to tie this back into reverse engineering from UFO and alien technology. But again, remember how far we have come as a technological society since the 40s.
That's what the Netflix series that I can't remember the name of is about. They reverse engineer how to basically store a person on what they call stacks, which is just a little thing they put in your spine.
Right.
And then you just take the stack out of you when you die and put it in a different body.
What a convenient segue, because method number two, uploading our consciousness into a cloud and then downloading it to robotic bodies. Now, of course, for this one to work, you really have to wonder, can you take your being and put it inside of a cloud server or a robotic body? Because this, oh my God, this is such a loaded argument.
It depends what you believe.
Well, no,
it doesn't matter what you
believe. Yeah, there you go.
It depends what's actually true, but if
the argument
you have,
depends on what you believe.
Right.
Yeah, if you believe that there is a thing called a soul,
then this is a moot point.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you believe in a soul, then this doesn't matter. Unless the soul is just confused for consciousness.
Unless there's actually many beliefs on what a soul is. One of them is the more standard belief of it's who you are, it's your soul, it's the then the one of them is that it's actually connected to your brain.
Right.
We just call it a soul. Right. And then there's the people that you don't have a soul, you just have a brain.
And that's the only way that that could work, is if you're not, I don't think this works with spirituality. Because if you look into the spirituality like this, unless they literally build a machine that can transfer your soul into a machine. And that technology seems so insane.
Ghost in the Shell.
Yes, exactly. Ghost in the Shell. Yes.
Look at it like this. Say having a soul is a real thing. What if the soul was just the energy that the body produces?
The electrical signal?
Yeah.
So you could take that energy and put it into another. Yeah.
So even from a spiritual idea, that this may be possible. It's a far stretch. Like, this is something straight out of a sci-fi.
Right. It is. But, you know, so many things that we take for granted now are things that seem like they were straight out of sci-fi at one point. Body transplants, you know, medical science in general. If you go back 100 years, they would call you a science fiction author.
If you go back 50 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now imagine going back 200 years.
Well,
we'd be burned at the stake.
You're getting close to when they were leeching. And
exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, imagine how far we've come in the past 50 years. Now imagine the next 50 years. And that's what this guy's argument is that by 2050, imagine where the technology is going to be. He goes on to say that you will, a long time before we get to fix our bodies and rejuvenate it, every time we feel like we'll be able to link our minds to the machine world so well, we'll effectively be living in the cloud. We'll be able to switch bodies whenever we want and be whatever we want to be. The mind will basically be in the cloud and be able to use any Android that you feel like to inhabit the real world. It says that we'll have to wait until about 2050 for the technology to catch up, and only the very rich will be able to afford it in the beginning. Although, at some point, it could even be offered as on an insurance plan.
Well, so this is two things that kind of roll into each other. First off, changing how, so you are essentially your brain, if you're going to look at it from a scientific point.
Right.
The electrical signals in your brain. Yeah. Which means that your body is just this kind of meat armor.
It's a shell.
Yeah.
It's like a ghost in the
So, well, hold on. If you're transferring your brain into a cloud, what does that do to your perspective? What does that do to your agency in the world?
Yeah, I was going to ask, what would this switching, even just from a cloud or even to another person, what would this do to people mentally?
Yeah, how you would think, how you would process things. But in that same vein, if somebody does it first, imagine all the capability they would have. It becomes exponential. So like a few elites, rich people get to do it.
Right.
And probably the scientists that invented and all those things. That then drives, with all these new capabilities, the next step, which it kind of just snowballs itself and becomes normal.
Right. Yeah, everyone, it's...
So our world ends up turning into servers on an MMO.
Yeah, it might be...
Wait for it.
1 year, only the rich can do it. 2 years later, it's the normal thing, well, because that's how fast it stacks on itself.
That's what this Ian Pearson argues, that most people on middle-class incomes and reasonable working-class incomes could probably afford this in the 60s, 2060s. Anyone 90 or under by 2060 would be able to afford it, because it would exactly like I said. Tanner, what does this do to the paranormal world? Like, legitimately, if this is a thing where people can't die, does this disprove the paranormal? What happens?
I don't think it disproves the paranormal, because you still are going to be dealing with spirits that were already here.
Well, and the whole idea of taking somebody's energy, their electrical signal,
that
their brain.
That kind of supports it.
Yeah, like ghosts are just somebody's energy.
So could we then resurrect the dead? If you...
You'd have to figure out a way to, like, capture that energy.
That might be the step after that we don't even have the, like, comprehension to figure out at the moment.
He does say also, I don't know if I mentioned this, that Android bodies would be limited as to not negatively impact the Earth. So, like you were saying, population control, you're only allowed so many...
Well, again, if we're going into the cloud... Our perspective shifts.
They don't have to actually.
Who cares
make.
About the world? Like, yeah, you're in a cloud.
Well,
your
consciousness is in a cloud, but your body would still be robotic. So you'd still be living on this Earth.
Yeah, but why?
Well, okay.
You don't have a. You don't have a body anymore.
Digital universe.
Yeah, you don't have a body anymore to take care of. Why do you need to come back to the Earth?
Couple reasons for that, actually. And I don't want to skip too far ahead. Let's go to number three before I get back to that. And that's uploading our consciousness to a virtual world. Right. Like Lindsay was saying, basically an MMO. Go anywhere, be anyone, do anything, know anything.
Sort out online.
Yeah, that's when they basically take you and put you on a server and go, okay, this is life now. And that seems incredible. Imagine a world, it's like the holodeck on Star Trek every day. Yep. You can do anything you want. And that just seems like the best possibility, doesn't it? No.
Until you account for everyone else in the world that can do anything they want.
Unless you literally have your own individual parallel areas.
Yeah, would be isolated because you would have a hard drive, essentially, that is you, mm-hmm. that you have room to play in.
But you're forgetting the one important thing about this, and the thing that I said, Allie, don't worry because no one will live forever, is that the world eventually will end. True. Whether it's a million years from mm-hmm. now or 30,000.
And it'll destroy everything.
It'll destroy everything. So this virtual server you're plugged into will become unplugged at some point. Why would we care about Earth still? Because you're going to need people to run those servers.
But, okay, so running a server is very low intensive, even if it has all the information of a human mind.
You assume.
No, hold on.
You assume.
You put that mind on a satellite and just have it orbit a star.
Until that star supernova.
Until that star dies.
Exactly.
But that's still like but what I'm saying many thousands of years?
Well, that's true. But the point of this is that I think even if you do any of these options, the point is that like no matter what, you're going to die.
Yes.
There is no immortality.
It doesn't solve the
heat death of the universe. I can't see this as something that it's a one-time payment. How do you keep making payments for this thing if you're not working because you're in
the cloud?
A fictional world.
Well, yeah, currency and all that would change dramatically.
Exactly. Like,
that's what I mean by your perspective would mm-hmm. change on what's important.
Especially
what's
if there
not.
Are still human beings on Earth. Yes. You know, if there are new generations of people being born and just the older ones are going to a virtual server, yeah, someone has to pay the upkeep on those. People have to be here to work it to make sure things go correctly.
Well, that's what I mean. You can make it self-sufficient.
To a point, but I think at some point, what about variables? You know, you have to consider variables. What if an asteroid hits the Earth and knocks out your servers? What if, you know, there are always things that could happen. And
right.
I don't think that people are going to upload their, you know, souls up to machines and just hope for the best.
At the same time, going against what you're saying, though, like saying that it's not truly immortal, it is, because you're not dying of natural causes. Like, you're not going to sit there and die of cancer. You're not
yeah, something would have to kill you.
Something would have to kill you. Just because you're immortal doesn't mean you can't die.
I guess that's true. That's the old vampire argument.
Yeah.
Immortal. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, it's point taken. So, there's no such thing as eternal life.
Living forever. You can be immortal, but you won't live forever.
Right. So, when I first saw this, I was really half... I mean, obviously, okay, let's be honest. This all sounds like bullshit. Let's just be honest. Like... the thought that we could upload our consciousness into a machine is straight out of science fiction. Is it possible someday? No. Because how the hell would you even do that?
What do you mean? You could copy it. Like it's...
Okay, but if you copy it, then it's not you. So I don't give a shit.
You know? That's another argument to have is if you are transposed, essentially.
Right.
Do you have now double the agency? Are you still in your old body?
And if you can do that, what are you?
Right.
If you can.
That's what I mean by it would change perspective.
Right.
It, the very basis of how humans work now shifts.
Yeah.
You can't get around that if you're going to do something like this.
Right. It makes, there's so many implications for this. There's so many questions about, like, one, what are you? Are you a soul?
Are you a ghost in a shell?
Are you a ghost in the shell? And are you a brain that just is based on impulses and stuff like that? Because if you are a ghost in the shell and your brain is something different, then you really have two entities inside of you at once. You and then whatever lasts when you're gone. So even if you are religious and you believe that you are the brain, but you also believe in a soul, then that's kind of depressing too. Cause that means that when you die, it's not you that lives on. It's your energy.
There's also the belief that in the idea of the brain and then of the soul is that they are connected in a way. In almost every, they're connected in a way. One of them, in most cases, the soul tells the brain what to do because the brain is just the impulses that causes you to do things. And whenever you die, then your soul doesn't have a brain to impulse you to do things in your physical body because you don't have that anymore. But you're still you.
Did I ever tell you my theory on what existence is and how it relates to computers?
No.
Did I ever tell you this, Tanner? I think I told Allie. So, take a power socket, like a plug-in, right? You plug a computer into that. That energy that controls that computer, the computer can download, it can learn new things, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That computer dies, you unplug it, it's gone. You plug a new computer into it, same energy, but it's a different computer.
So, okay, here. You plug a computer in, you do all the things you need to do, you unplug the computer and it turns off. When you plug the computer back in, all that stuff is still there.
That's the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but if the computer died, you ain't turning it back on and plugging it back in. It could just die. The energy's still there.
You can get the hard drive out of it.
Maybe that's what they're talking about here.
Yeah, that's
this
what I mean.
This is the part of you that gets uploaded to the virtual world. Oh, man.
The argument that has been going on for centuries of nature versus nurture is also something that would be a factor in this. What causes us to be who we are? Is it the environment around us, or is it the biological
imperative
that we have? And it's different for different situations.
It's complicated for sure. And if this were a thing, all right, so I know some people here at this table are religious, are very religious. Does this go against religion?
No.
Tanner, I'm going to address this to you as I think the one that I've talked to the most about, you know, faith and stuff like that. Does this in any way fly in the face of God's plan?
I think that depends who you ask.
Yeah.
I say, doesn't it depend on which religion you're following?
I don't know, because this seems, I mean, because to me, sometimes medicine seems like it's against God's plan. But then other people would argue, but God put people on the earth who created it to help you. So who knows?
But in this, some people would view, especially the, you upload yourself into the cloud, you're creating your own world. You're in a sense becoming your own god of your world, which is,
but I still wouldn't it would still be the people that control the servers that are your god.
Well, again, that would still be a god that's not your, that's not God.
And I think that's the biggest reason why, honestly, I think immortality is a viable option. I really do. I've always said that. I think that at some point the immortality will be on the table, but as long as there are religious people, as long as there are people that believe in God and God's plan, stuff like that, and as long as those people are a majority, whether no matter what religion you are, I think immortality will be out of reach because they will not fund it and they will not try it.
Well, there are also people that probably wouldn't call themselves religious, but they believe in a balance, that the world has to live in a balance, which means that with life, there has to be death, and there has to be an end to keep everything balanced.
Why, though? Like, I would, well, and I'm not asking you, I would ask those people, like, why does there have to be a balance?
And the main argument for why there has to be a balance is because then one organism has a stranglehold on the rest of the world. But again, if your perspective is changing to the point that you care about your hard drive, for lack of a better term, you don't care about the entire planet, that seems like a bad sentiment, but it allows the planet to go back to where it naturally would be. Like, that's, you're just like kind of like letting it go.
Because you're not harvesting everything out
of
it.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a way to save the world. If everybody, you know, if people go to a virtual reality in a way, then the world could renew itself. The world could heal.
Do you know the way?
I think he's trying to show me the way.
Jeffrey, you also mentioned that.
Right, spit at the fake queen, well, everybody.
The older, well,
no selling.
People get older and they die. They go into the virtual world. Well, there would still be people on Earth because you said there has to be people that maintain these servers. All of this, they're still going to have kids. They're still going to do everything that they're doing on this Earth.
Maybe. Maybe, but you know, there's an argument to be said that they, I mean, we might have androids. We might have artificial intelligence.
Wally.
We may have things that we create that will take care of it for us.
And that's another
AI. But then what happens if the AI becomes self-aware? Will AI shut us off? Like, it's so terrifying to think about.
And those arguments also have different
of course you do.
Points of view of if you believe in a soul, then you believe that AIs can't be more than a program.
But here is a fact. Here is a fact. At some point in the future, artificial intelligence and androids, whatever you want to call them, will live among us. That's not science
They're
fiction.
Already there.
They're already there.
Yeah. Look at your phone.
No. I'm talking about full human faces. They already have some androids that can respond to you, that learn. And that's what the technology we have now. As technology grows, these things will become like, we will have sense. We really will have sense that live on Earth with us. And you get into a whole nother discussion of, okay, can we enslave them? Can we use them as a tool to keep us alive while we live in the clouds?
Figuring out why rights would we have to enslave these have.
Well, because why would they do it other than being programmed to?
But, okay, so you do realize that most intelligent things find that cooperation is better than outright subjugation?
Yes, but history also tells us that humanity
likes to,
right, but
likes
who says, to control. Who says AI is humanity?
Well, they're not, but what if they become aware? All right, so what if AI looks through history and sees how we treated each other and they go, we are subservient to them. I don't want to be that anymore. Like, what if they have free will? And that also leads into the question of, is there free will? This one topic could go for days, and we would never come up with an answer.
It's been going for days.
It's been going on for more than that.
Yeah.
Years. Literally years.
There's been the argument before, whenever technology became bigger, it started becoming a question of AI being a thing and what that would do to society and how that would change it and change how people view things. And we're still moving towards that. We're becoming more comfortable with it because it is everywhere, but not everyone's aware that it is everywhere.
Yes.
Because they think about of human-faced robots.
Right.
When most people, the Alexis is those type of things are becoming more and more prominent in homes.
Yeah, and at some point they'll stop being little machines and start being like you and I, you know, full functioning.
Have you seen Smart House?
Yes.
No. Have you seen the robot? Oh, sorry, Android. I don't know the proper term. That it's a female from Japan. We watched that video, I believe, Calvin.
Yeah, that malfunctions and.
Yeah, well, when they fixed her,
right?
And she's there and she's answering questions. She's learning from what people say. She has facial recognition, like
Jeeves or no, it's Astro. It's Jenkins. There's an AI in the UK. I think it's Jenkins. That is far superior, but he doesn't have a body. He's just a
program.
Yeah. He's just an AI, but he will learn something that would take a normal human months in an hour.
And if you take that technology, take the ability to learn and maybe even, I don't know, feel emotions over time or something that's like emotions. You know what I mean? Like
analogous.
Yeah. And then you put, what's that?
Janet from The Good Place.
Yeah.
Every time she got
an upgrade.
Reborn,
yeah.
An upgrade, she learned something else about humans to where she was even able to fall in love.
So what will make them any difference from us in that case?
And nothing.
That's whenever you'd have the people that
argument?
Want, well, mm-hmm. Not even that, just the people that want, they go, they're here to serve us. We program them so that they could make our lives easier. And then someone would be like, but no, they are exactly like us. They need rights.
That's where the problem arises, is you have to delineate between, are we going to be oppressive to them so that they have to rise up? Or are you going to let them be their own entity with their own agency?
Gee, I wonder.
Well,
with the way we treat humans, how
yeah,
we're going to treat artificial intelligence.
Who do you think the first people are going to interact with are? The scientists that want them to have their own agency. They want
Until
them to exist.
Until they realize to continue their research to do this, they have to start selling it.
Or dissecting them.
And selling it becomes more, people are only going to buy it if it can serve them.
And then.
Unless you're selling it to other scientists that just want to look at it.
So what you're saying is at some point, we all live in the cloud, and the Earth is populated with artificial intelligence instead.
Yes.
Sure.
Right? That's the future. Until the world dies out. Then you have to go back to Elon Musk and talk about colonizing other planets so then we can move the servers.
Can we just, like, shoot for Futurama? Like,
I don't want my head living in a jar. No, I'm good.
Being fed like goldfish.
Yeah, I'll go for the virtual world option.
Hey,
especially if they can make it like
Nixon got a robot body.
That says, look at my new robot body.
Uh-huh.
The virtual world sounds great. That means I could wake up one day, I could send a message to Lindsay that said, hey, you want to go hunt some orcs? And then we could actually be there hunting orcs. Yeah. But it has to have actual sensation. You know what I mean? Like, it can't just be a video game. It has to be that you feel, that
it
you smell.
It would be simulated sensation.
It depends on how you simulate it. But, and I know that sounds weird, but you can make something real, like tactical.
But if you're on a server,
you can still make something real and tactical, especially if your brain is uploaded onto the server.
But it wouldn't, you would have to consider, would this be the physical brain?
But
it wouldn't be any difference.
You wouldn't be able to, there would be zero difference. And that's the point, is it's not simulated, it's actuated.
Like replicated.
Yeah. Sure.
So there's a part in The Matrix where, I don't remember the exact part, but he's eating something and he says, I know this isn't what it is, but my brain's telling me that it's this.
It tastes like chicken.
Yeah. That's good enough for me.
And do you think that the robots didn't know what this tastes like, so they just made it taste like chicken?
Yeah.
And that's why everything tastes like chicken?
That's fine by me, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, if my brain thinks it's real, that's all I care about. Because the biggest thing I want you to take from this is that I don't want to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how we'll end
the show.
Fear
of mortality.
Yeah. Fear of mortality. I hate mortality. Mortality sucks. But there's also a guilt thing. So he says, if you were born sometime in 1970 and onwards, that would make you 48 this year. So anybody under 50 has a good chance of it, and anyone under 40 almost definitely will have access to this. Most of your readers are probably going to live forever. If that's true, then I feel like there's guilt to be had from this too, because why should I'll feel guilty that I get to live forever and my parents didn't. Or I'll live forever and some of my friends that died didn't.
Survivor's guilt?
Yeah, exactly. At some point, yeah, everyone lives forever and then no one feels bad. Unless you're killed or, you know, I have a couple of friends, one that's fighting cancer right now. And how unfair would it be for me to live forever when she or he had passed away from it? You know? Like, shit like that. Like, there's so much to think about this. This is the reason that I'm so stressed out, because we'll leave this conversation tonight, and you guys will all go, and we'll do our separate things. I will think about this nonstop for reasons I cannot explain. That's a good way to end. All right. Thank you guys for listening to I Want to Believe. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted with Allie, myself, Ace, and Dalton. We got a lot to talk about after Elimination Chamber on Sunday, which seems kind of silly after discussing all this, but whatever. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great night, and start thinking about how you want to live forever. You got options. Good night.